Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Christ the King Redemption Ministry. Lord, we're praying for folks this morning. Amen. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so grateful that you're joining with us today. We know that the Lord has a word for you. Before we get into this scripture, this lesson for today, I want Prophetess to go ahead and give us our announcements, lead us into prayer. Prophetess Christ.
Amen. Once again, good morning. In the way of announcements this morning, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle McQueen. Also on Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website. We ask that you would take some time out of your busy schedule and visit us there. Get to learn more about myself, about Apostle McQueen, and the Church Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as being a support, amen, in prayer and finances to our sons and daughters that are overseas. Just want to also let you know that on our website, we do have a media page. Check us out. Go there. You can hear Apostle preaching about what is in a little bit. Amen, a powerful word that God had given him when he was in the state of North Carolina. And then also you can see yours truly ministering a word from God. Amen, called Don't Let Success Cause You to Forget God. Amen. It was a powerful message that the Lord had given me to deliver to his people. He showed up. Amen. People were healed. Signs, wonders, and miracles had taken place. Amen. I am excited about that. Just also want to let you know, we do have a donation page. Please check us out there. Whatever God lays upon your heart, please take some time to go to the donate page, and please put all your information in there, and it will go immediately, amen, either to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or if you wish to support our sons and daughters that are overseas in the different countries, you could do that as well. Just tell us where you would like your finances and your gifts to go, and we will make sure that it gets into the proper hands. Amen. Amen. Just want to also let you know we're excited. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Go there to our Facebook page. Amen. Check us out. Leave a praise request or a praise report or a prayer request. Amen. And someone will touch and agree with you, as well as, you know, pray to make sure that God, amen, does exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask for, think according to his will. We are excited about that as well. Now, finally, what I'm really want to give you the big news, on October 18th and 19th, I want you to join me for Women of Prophetic Destiny Annual Conference. We're hosting it at the Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, located at 213 Stone Street. That's the October 18th and 19th. I want to see you there. We're going to have a time of praise, a time of prayer. Amen. We have men and women of God coming from all over that are going to minister a powerful word. I want to see you in the place. That is, amen, October 18th and 19th at Greater St. Paul, amen, Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. More information is coming. Keep yourself glued to our website. Keep yourself glued to the Facebook page. You're going to hear more about it. Amen and amen. Now, let us look to prayer. And let's go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. God, we bless you. We glorify you. Amen. We're glad that we have come into this place one more time to give your name praise and glory. Father, even as we come before you, humbly submit our wills. We humbly submit our mindsets. We humbly submit ourselves to you, and we ask that you would have your way this morning. We ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would just begin to move about your people. We ask that you would minister to them this word on this morning. Father, meet the people at the point of their need this morning in the name of Jesus. Even as we come into the household of faith, Father, we ask for forgiveness right now. Wash us and cleanse us in your blood. Wash our minds, our souls, and our spirits in the blood of Jesus. Wash our eyes, our ears, our mouths, God, in the blood of Jesus. Make us whole. We want to be cleansed and pure before you. Purify our hands, God. Purify our hearts and our spirits, because we want to do your will in the name of Jesus. Father, even now, as the man of God comes, we ask for a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of knowledge that will speak through him this morning. Give us the right now fresh bread from heaven. Father, as he begins to minister the word of life, speaking of that, bring life today, God. Someone needs to hear a right now word that's going to change their very situation. Someone needs to hear a right now word that says, what must I do to be saved? Someone needs to hear a right now word, God, that's going to shift, shake, and change their circumstances around them in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we open our ears, our spiritual ears, to hear your word. We open our hearts to receive. We give your name all praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for who you are. We thank you because you're God. We thank you because there is no one like you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, without further ado, let us receive Apostle McQueen. Amen?
Amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. God is good. We're so grateful for those of you who have joined us and for that awesome prayer. Look at your neighbor and tell them, this is the day.
That the Lord
hath
made.
I will rejoice and be glad in
it.
See, when you look at the day and it's not, oh Lord, I got up again, you know, what am I going to do? Then you can take pleasure in it. It is God's desire to give us the kingdom. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I think that understanding that, and we take it serious that God takes delight in the pleasure and in the joy of his people. So we are excited about all of these things, and I'm looking forward to what God has for us. Let me switch my attention right quick to this Women of Prophetic Destiny conference that will be held in Cocoa, Florida. We're looking for a high time in the Lord, and I do mean high. Those of you from across the country who have had the opportunity to experience the Women of Prophetic Destiny conference can attest to the fact that this is a high time in the Lord. We come together. It's a male and female. The title is Woman of Prophetic Destiny. That's what was given to Prophetess McQueen when we first started. But you, those who have been there can attest that it's not just a female, amen, conference. It is a conference from those who belong to the body of Christ, those who will come in alignment and come into agreement with us, concerned what God wants to do with us and through us, amen. And if we get in and focus our hearts and our minds, every time we have a spirit of expectancy, miracle signs and wonders occur. So I'm telling you, if you are in the Central Florida area, we're over on the East Coast side, but I do believe from Tampa on the West Coast side to the East Coast side, it's only about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So if you're any place in the Central Florida area, you have the opportunity October 18th and 19th to make it to Cocoa, Florida, then you really want to make your way there. I'm telling you, we're 2 hours south of Jacksonville, and we're 45 miles south of Daytona Beach, 35 miles east of Orlando. So we are centrally located, and it's not too far for you to come and get the word, the experience, and the breakthrough that you need. This conference is dynamic, and I fully endorse it. We've been doing these since 2003, amen. So plenty of years of Woman of Prophetic Destiny, and this has been a blessing to the body of Christ. I just want to encourage you all to make your way. Go to our website and let Prophetess know. You'll find her information, contact information on our contact page. Amen. Now, let's get into this word. I want you to go to Luke, the 12th chapter. Amen. Start at the 29th verse. Reading from the New King James Version. It says, "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows." Look at your neighbor and say, "Your Father knows."
Your Father knows
what you have, that you need these things. "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. "So what you have, and give alms, provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I just want you to take for a subject today, the Father knows. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, "The Father knows."
The Father knows.
Look at your other neighbor and say, "The Father knows."
The Father knows.
So we're going through this time. We're looking and we're seeing different things here in the Word of God. And I'm noticing, quite frankly, that there are certain things in this world that we are so focused on that we think that the Father has forgotten about us. So it's our duty to look out for number one. The problem with looking out for number one is that if you put yourself before God, then you present a problem. Amen. Because you put yourself in the place of God. The Bible lets us know very clearly, he said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Isn't it a shame that sometimes we have no other God than ourselves? We have only to look at hip-hop today to see that there are those walking around taking upon themselves the position, the moniker, the authority, the reverence of God. One of the famous rappers calls himself Jah. In other words, he's saying, I am Jehovah. He's taking on the name God himself. So when we begin to look at these things, then we realize that there are some people, even though they don't say it, they still follow after that mindset. The father asks them to do something, and if it doesn't sit well with them, they usurp his authority for their own authority. Amen? You see, we understand it this way, and you have to see it very clearly, and that is that God calls us to submit our will to his will. In other words, you do have the authority in yourself to do what you want to do. But if you're going to get the blessings of the Lord, the blessings that are in this book, this manual right here, this will and testament, you can't get that without submitting to him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means that if you're going to have faith in his word for your blessing, you have to have faith in his word for your will, huh? And purpose. To be submitted to his will and purpose. Amen? So that means that even though we can look here, we can see these things, but we don't have to try to do it ourselves because the Father knows. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, the Father knows.
The Father knows.
Look what it says here. It says, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Let me just deal with that right now. There are certain things that the enemy will show you and tell you and bring to your image or to your understanding or to your perception that has nothing to do with whether or not you're going to make it. Let's look at Peter walking on the water. Peter is fixated on Jesus as he gets out the ship to walk on the water to Jesus. And as long as he is focused on Jesus, he walks. But when the wind and the waves start becoming so important, he takes his eyes off Jesus and instantly he starts to sink. Amen? Some of you have been walking a miracle, walking out a miracle because you had your eyes fixated on God. You had your vision fixated on the master and his plan and his will for your life. And then you move from that to looking at what was happening with your neighbor, what was happening with your friends, what they're saying at your job. You know what? Everybody else got a pink slip but you because you were walking a miracle. Amen. You know how many times you made it into work late. You know how many times you took off because you didn't feel like going to work. Yet and still, as the Holy Spirit was dealing with you, they got to slip and you got to go to work. Look at your neighbor and say, that was a miracle. See, as long as you focus on him, he'll help you walk through some things, amen? You'll walk through some situations that you should have succumbed to. So when you are walking out the miracle, you don't have the time, you don't have the ability, you don't even need to stretch yourself trying to focus on something other than God, amen? So as you're focused on him, he calls to you to walk that miracle out. Amen. But what happens is we start focusing on all everything else. You get ready to go to church and he starts telling you about stuff that you forgot. You can't get out the driveway without him reminding you that you did get something. Oh, yeah, don't forget tomorrow you're supposed to be at. You come to church and by the time you get to church, you got the next 2 weeks planned out in your mind. And through all of that planning, the Holy Spirit has to break through and get to you so he can speak into your life. We start fretting about things. Well, how are we going to take care of this? How are we going to do that? How's this going to plan out? I mean, I don't understand. Listen, The Bible says here, nor have an anxious mind. Anxiety. Amen. You see that? Isn't it interesting that as we have an anxious mind, that it causes some problems for us? Huh? Mm-hmm. As we deal with anxiety. I can just imagine people asking God, Lord, how come you didn't speak? He said, I did speak. But your mind was such in such a disarray, you never heard my voice. Amen? I need him to speak to me. Amen? And I don't have time for anxiousness, anxiety. Amen? Look at the children and say, don't have an anxious mind. Well, let's look at what anxious means. What is an anxious mind? Well, anxious basically is worries, fears, concerns. Okay? So when we begin to look at that word anxious, it is experiencing worry. Unease or nervousness. Typically, listen to this, about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. You see that? So, in other words, it is the unknown. That causes you the problem. So, as long as everything is according to my plan, my will, I'm okay. But that's the whole thing with faith. Faith doesn't, it's not predicated on what you understand or what you can explain. It's predicated upon the word of God, what God says. Now, that's where people have problems following God. Well, if he tell me what he wants, I don't have a problem following him. I just need him to tell what he wants. Well, he says, listen, I want you to have faith in me. I'm going to tell you what you need to do, when you need to do it. But I'm not going to tell you any more after that. Amen? Look at what he told Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter. Amen? Genesis 12 and 1, very familiar passage. We like to preach and talk about it. But look at the way that he got this. Amen. Because it didn't come in our comfort. Amen. Some of us would have left the church and went on and found someplace else. Talking about, I don't understand the vision. Amen. Because it wasn't laid out to me perfectly. Look at what was said. 12 and 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curse you. And I will give you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, let me show you something. We like to preach this from our comfort zone. Amen. From verse 2, 12 and 2. You see that? We like to grit. Hey, and I will make you a great nation. Ooh, yes, he's going to make me great. And I will bless you. Ooh, I'm going to get some blessings and make your name great. Oh, I'm going to be somebody. Yes. And I will make you a blessing. Oh, he's going to prosper me so I can help other people out. Yeah, and I will bless those who bless you. Ooh, y'all better like me. And I will curse those who curse you. Look out, enemies. You see that? And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Oh, y'all can't do without me. I'm just that good. Yeah, but let's go back to the first verse. Because notice he didn't give him any type of surety there. He didn't give him any other direction. He didn't tell him where he was going to end. He simply said these words here. He said, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Pastor, I need a little bit more before I can get behind this vision. See, we want the blessing part here. But you notice the motto here did not give them everything else they needed. Am I right? It's right there in black and white. Told them, get to a land that I will show you. Huh? At the point, we have people where I don't know what the pastor doing. If it was me, if it was you, then you would be the pastor. Amen? And that's the other side of that, is that when God begins to speak, he's from the head down and not from the bottom up. So the anxiety that we have a lot of times comes from the fact that we are in control. I'm going to use the example here. Love you, baby, but I'm going to use it. We'll be driving down the street, and my wife will sit there and drive from the passenger side of the car. She has imaginary steering wheel. She has imaginary gas and brakes. Am I right? Yeah. Amen. And when we talked about it, I said, baby, now, you know, I've gone through defensive driving and everything else. As a police officer, former police officer, I had to qualify and be qualified and certified to be able to drive in any type of weather, any type of condition, high speed. We operate the cars at a top level. Amen. And that wasn't a one-time deal. That was going back to certification and recertification. So when I get behind the wheel, I understand how to read the vehicle, so I know how to respond to the vehicle if I need to. That's my training. Amen. I have 15 years of that type of training. Now, she hasn't had any of that training. But yet and still, on her side of the car, she has imaginary gas pedal, imaginary brake pedal, and imaginary steering wheel. As we talked, her thing that she said to me, she said, it's not so much that I don't trust your training. It's that I'm not in control of the vehicle. Amen? Is that it? And that's the problem that some of us have now when it comes down to what God is calling us to and asking us to do. It's not so much that we trust God. We don't trust his sovereignty. It's not that we don't trust his ability to be able to see way down the road. He knows the end at the beginning. It's none of that stuff. It's just that in the middle of this process, I don't have the steering wheel. I don't have brakes to slow them down, and I ain't got a gas pedal to speed God up. We have anxiety because we feel out of control. But that's what faith is. Faith is trusting in. The Greek word there is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which means a trustworthiness. It means that regardless of what's going on, I will trust in the Lord. I'm not going to attribute him my skill set. I'm going to leave him with his and then trust that his skill set is greater than mine to pull me through some things that I may have gotten myself into. Amen? So then anxious is experiencing worry. You see, that unease or nervousness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And I can tell you right now, if you want to get rid of anxious feeling, then all you have to do is go back to my favorite scripture, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good. So the outcome that you're worried about at the very beginning has already had a short outcome to it. You see, there's shorty there. All things work together for good. Everybody say good. So if it's for good, then that means no matter what I'm going through right now, I'm going to make it to the good. Amen? You see that? I'm going to make it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to make it. Oh, yes, yes. I know I'm going to make it. So when anxiety comes, then I can sit back and say, you know what? I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm secure. Let's look at some of these other definitions for anxiety. And I think this second one really fits a lot of people in the church. Anxiety, desire to do something, typically accompanied by unease. In other words, God didn't ask you to do something within your comfort zone. He asked you to do something outside of your comfort zone. You see that? So, Lord, I give you all. I give you my whole self. I'll be yours, Lord. Take me. Take me as I am. I belong to you. And then after you say all of that, then God comes and checks you at the point that you don't want to be checked at. He'll ask you to do something that you didn't want to do. He'll go into a place where you thought that, you know, he wasn't going to bother. I still remember a young lady coming to the church and saying that the Lord told me to come here and submit myself. Oh, God called me. He called me. He told me to come here and submit myself. I'm here. Apostle Prophet is just, I know God has some great things for me, and he told me this is where I'm supposed to be, submit to y'all. And we said, okay, all right. The Holy Spirit said, tell her to leave that man alone. He married. She ain't supposed to mess with him. I said, okay. The Lord told me to tell you to leave that man alone. He married. You ain't supposed to be messing with him. Leave him alone. And she said, And then she left the church. Next day, she was over at a different pastor's church. So I'm like, oh, the Lord called me over here. He told me to submit to you. Am I right? See, you can't submit to God and try to hold on to stuff. Amen? So desires to submit to God. But you have an unease about doing so where he challenges you. Lord, if you had just asked me to do this or asked me to do that, I would have had no problem with it. Look at your neighbor and say, God will challenge you. Oh, yes, he will. He'll challenge you right where you need to be challenged. Oh, it's going to come to you. He's going to ask you some questions, and you need to have some right answers. Amen? The other thing about anxiety is it's a psychiatry. In psychiatry, it's a nervous disorder characterized by a state of excessive uneasiness and apprehension, typically with compulsive behavior or panic attacks. That means before anything happens, you've already played it out in your mind, and you're down at the end of it, and you already fell off the cliff, and nobody tried to catch you, and you're on the way down to the bottom, and you know, you ain't even started yet. It was just the thought of doing this that caused you to go into all of that. So you can understand that if God is saying, and look at this, he says in Luke 12 and 29, he says, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink. In other words, I'm going to take care of you eating your drink, just like I'm going to take care of everything else, nor have an anxious mind. Your mind is fixated on God, fixated on kingdom things, then you will never have a moment or opportunity to sit back and listen to the devil birth and see doubt into your mind. Anxiety comes from a lack of trust in God. Amen? Amen. Huh? For all these things, the nation, 30 verse, for all these things, the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. In other words, he knows that you need security. Amen? And I tell you, one of the best securities you can have against insecurity is to know that there are angels that accompany you every day, watching and waiting for the opportunity to give God the glory through your life. So when something happens to you and they intervene on your behalf, you say, glory, thank you, Jesus. And he said, I receive that. You understand? Huh? Have you ever been someplace where it looked like there was going to be an accident or something, and it just happened, they just missed you, and you said, woo, thank you, Jesus. The angel says, give this glory to God. You see that? So that's why you're there. You can take comfort in knowing that the angels of the Lord encamp about the righteous. Amen? Huh? Look at your neighbor and ask the question, are you the righteous? If you're righteous, then there's some angels sitting around you. Amen? Huh? On the other side of that, huh? You need to make sure that you're not embarrassing the angels that's sitting around you by carrying on like people who don't know who their God is. Amen? Amen. Ooh, that hit the other way, didn't it? Oh, we was ready to say the angel around me. Yeah, but they see you. They see that attitude. They see that behavior. They saw when you was trying to be sneaky. They see everything. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, just walk right.
Just walk right.
Ooh, I think that's a good segue into what I need to be talking about right here. See, God didn't call us to live an abundant, unholy life. He called us to live a holy life that he fills with abundance. Huh? Because while you're trying to get everything for yourself, God is trying to get you to live right. See, if he gives you the kingdom and you didn't change your character, you'll foul up the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Lord, I just want you to give me the kingdom. You said that you would give me the kingdom. He said, yeah, I'm going to give you the kingdom after I show you how to take care of the kingdom. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. All right. We're going to have to go there, too. I see it now. I see it now. So the Father knows that you have need of these things. You see that? But it says, but seek ye first, but seek the kingdom of God. Amen. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But here he says, seek the kingdom of God. You see that? And when you seek the kingdom of God, then you'll find out that there are some things that God will do for you. Amen? Because seeking a kingdom means that you have to learn how to be a kingdom citizen. You see that? So if you're going to learn how to be a kingdom citizen, then you have to learn how to change from being a world citizen. Your carnal mind has to become changed. Amen? You got to get your mind saved. You got to get your eyes saved. You got to get your body saved. Amen? See, your appetite changes to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see that? Instead of you hungering and thirsting after what the world is feeding you and what they're setting before you, you'll be looking for the things of God that will bolster a fruitful spirit in you. Huh? It will feed you. Lord, help us today. Now, if we just seek the kingdom of God, then what should we be seeking? I told you already, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the first thing that we have to seek is his righteousness, which means that I can't be politically correct trying to make friends with the world, hoping that nobody dislikes me. Sometimes your righteous walk causes you to walk in harm's way. In testimony, Jeremiah is prophesying constantly about what God is saying concerning the king of Babylon. Now, the king of Babylon was not a saint, amen. Right. He was not one of Abraham's seed. You understand? Yet and so God had chosen to make him king over all the world. Huh? Over all the earth. He was the king over all the earth. So the Lord was speaking through his servant, telling him to tell the people of God, submit to him, and he will have mercy on you. And they were like, well, we don't believe that that's what's going to happen. And then you go with your anxious mind, you run out and run right into the devil's trap. You see that? So, in other words, the righteousness of God always knows the right way to go, even when in your eyes it seems like the right way to go this way. He'll go that way. And you'll say, well, that don't make no sense. If I go over there, then that's the enemy. And he said, I know what I'm doing. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows what he's doing. Oh, yeah. Sometimes if we just back off, you know, and just trust him, he'll lead us where we need to go. And we'll find out that going that way, they'll have other concerns. You see that? Uh-huh. They won't even see you coming through there. Huh? He knows what we need. He knows how we need it. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Here's Jehoshaphat and Ahab sitting there, and they're talking about we're going to go to battle, okay? We're going to inquire of the Lord. And there was, Elisha had already killed the 400 prophets of Baal, so there's 450 prophets of the grove still left. Uh-huh. Sitting there around Ahab, they're up there with the horn saying, with these you shall go to the enemy, and you shall surely take him. They're running around talking about victory and everything else. And Jehoshaphat said, but is there another prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of? And they went and got Micaiah, I do believe his name was. He came up. Jehoshaphat, he stood before him and Ahab, and he said, shall we go forth to Ramoth Gilead? And he said, how many times have I told you to tell me the truth? He said, I saw Israel scattered across the mountain. There was no king, there was no shepherd. It's done. You're going to go up there and it's going to be over. Curtains. Chopped. Okay. And one of the prophets came and smote him and said, which way did that spirit go? You know, but you have to understand that at that point, he had to make a decision whether or not he was going to follow popular or follow righteousness. You see that? See, if it costs you something, you still got to be right. Ooh, Jesus, help us. Look at your neighbor and say, even if it costs you, follow righteousness. See, because we can't get to Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, comma, and all these things shall be added to you. We can't get to that all these things shall be added till we first deal with the righteous part. Because some of us trying to get around righteousness have sold out to things that have come back upon us. Amen? You thought that you was going to shortcut around here, or well, if I just don't deal with it, it'll take care of itself. I'm going on to riches. And No. You got to take care of this. Because this one right here will pursue you, and after you get your blessing, will pursue you till it consumes your blessing. So before you even get down there to that blessing, you got to deal with that. Amen? Righteousness puts the devil in his place. Jesus said it like this. He said, after this, I'll speak no more because Satan comes. He finds nothing in me. You see that? In other words, God is speaking and saying things to you. Instead of telling the devil what's going on, shut your mouth, but pursue righteousness. Amen? And when he gets to you, he'll find nothing that he can use to usurp your blessing from you. You see that? He can't take your blessing if there's no reason for him to have access to it. He couldn't just take the earth. He couldn't just walk into Eden and take over. He had to put something in place that gave him legal rights. You see that? A license to take it from Eve and Adam. A little conversation. little change in perception, a whole lot of lost blessing. You see that? So when it says here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we have to pursue righteousness. Now, how do we know that we have or have not obtained that? Well, let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter and the first verse. Galatians 4 and 1. New King James Version. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Look at your neighbor and say it again. The father knows. See, your blessing isn't held up by the enemy sometimes. Sometimes we hold up our own blessing. Oh, help us, Jesus. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of this world. That's why your righteousness has to proceed. You understand? Because when the world is still governing you, the blessing of the Lord will come and you'll make excuse for bad behavior and you'll discredit the kingdom by your behavior. Amen? So, we're under bondage. That means that you're made to do what you would not like to do based upon who governs and rules in your world. You see that? Even so, we were, when we were children, were in bondage to the elements of this world. What are the elements? It says that we battle not against flesh and blood. You see that? But against principalities. It is all of those things there, huh, that cause us to fight, amen. We're fighting against God's will, his purpose, his plan, based on those elements that war in the heavenly. That's why you got to have a good hallelujah. You got to have a good thank you, Jesus. Your praise and your prayer has to proceed forth, amen. Because when your prayer and your praise proceeds forth, your ears are open and attuned to what God is saying. You can clearly see what God is showing you. You see that? Then you can operate with integrity and character. So you mature. Huh? You're not in bondage anymore under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So now we receive adoption because we have now gone through the process, you see that, through Jesus Christ. That's why when I was reading in Ephesians 1 and 3, that he has given us all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. You see that? We are seated with Christ, and everything that Christ have, we have. We got that the moment we got saved. You see that? You see how all of this is coming back around? Full circle? Amen. Huh? So now as we are redeemed from under the law, we receive adoption as sons. And now look at this in the sixth verse here. It says, and because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. So when we start dealing with who we are in righteousness, you see that? We start dealing with the fact that we can cry out, Abba Father, just like Jesus did. You see that? And if his spirit is in the heart, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Then that means I should be speaking Jesus. How can I speak everything else out of my mouth and say that I have adoption? Because his spirit should be on the inside of me. Is that right? Huh? If that is correct, then when I speak that, then the seventh verse really applies to me. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. A slave to what? The elements of this world. I have matured. You see that? I'm walking justification. I've gone through the process. Lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, views born, talked about, sure as I'm born, up, down, almost level to the ground. But guess what? As long as I got King Jesus, oh yeah, I know those are lyrics to a song, but guess how it fits here? Huh? If I have Jesus, then I have exactly what I need. I'm not a slave anymore. Let's finish reading that right there. But a son. And if I'm a son, huh, then an heir of God through Christ, which goes back to what I said. As long as I have him, I have exactly what I need. Brothers and sisters, it is very important for us to understand that having Jesus is more than enough. You see that? If we have him, we have everything that we need. So when he says, seek the kingdom lets me go into not just being a slave or a servant in the kingdom, but being a son. You see that? And because I'm a son, I'm an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You see that? Huh? So when I seek the kingdom of God, and I get everything that I need, then we can go past this comma here and says where it says, all these things shall be added to you. So when I'm seeking him, I don't seek him just to get all these things added to me. Look at your neighbor and say, seeking is a long-term event. I remember coming up, we used to say, I'm saved, E.D., sanctified, E.D., Holy Ghost filled, E.D., fire baptized, E.D. You see that? But I found out that we need to be saved. We need to go into sanctification and continue to be sanctified. Amen? You got filled with the Holy Ghost? Go get filled again. You see that? Because your feeling needs to be recharged. I don't know anybody who drives a car or anything else, put gas in it when you bought it off the lot, and you continue driving that car with the same gas the rest of its life. You got to go to the gas station and get a refill. Well, you know, where do I get a refill at? Well, you don't get a refill at the grocery store. You got to go to the gas station. That's a little word to those of you who think that you don't have to go to church. Amen? Huh? I found out that as often as I get to the house of God, the more often that I get in his presence, get around his people, begin to seek him and search after him, the stronger I become. 7 days, you know, without God makes 1 week. W-E-A-K, amen. And when we only come in like once or twice to say, ooh, I came to church 2 times, I'm okay. Listen, if there's a revival, try to find a revival. If the saints are meeting, try to meet with the saints. Because every time you come in, you lessen the voice of the enemy in your ears and you begin to tune your ears to what God is saying. There's many times when we have gone, Prophetess and I have gone across the country and have gotten to different places. And as we have gone there, we have found people who was speaking the same thing that we were speaking here. God spoke a word, released it into our spirit, and we begin to speak it and begin to minister that word, and then we go across the country, and somebody else said, the Holy Spirit has pricked my heart, and he's speaking, and he's saying, and we look at each other and say, woo, thank you, Lord, it's good to be in the vein. Amen? Amen. See, when you off to yourself, then you'll be looking for a word because you can't hear a word. Lord, help us. Now, I know that this right here is hard for some people to grab hold of, because we have now what are those called? We have seeker churches. We have these feel good seven steps according to Joel Osteen, 7 steps to happiness, prosperity, and health. You will not hear of hell. You will not hear of sin. You will not hear of the devil at these churches. They just say, oh, we just see good in everything. God is just a good God, and we see good in all of that. Because God is good, so we should see God in everything, which God is good. But God is such a good God that he provided a way for us to be saved. He provided a way of escape. Amen? And because he provided a way of escape, we need to grab hold of that way. And that way is Jesus. You see that? So we can't preach prosperity to you without preaching Christ. There's just no way to do it. Because until you get past the elements of this world, hello somebody, you're still a slave and not a son. I like the words, the next words here as we close. He said, do not fear, little flock. Notice we started off with anxiety. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If we're going to have this from God, then we're going to have it because we trusted in him. God doesn't mean you any harm. He's not trying to do you in. But you got to change your lifestyle. Don't get saved today and still look like you was yesterday. Amen. There should be a difference in you and in the world. If you still look like the world, there's some other issues, some problems. Amen? God is trying to get us to change our address, change our hearts, change our minds, and get to him. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, the Father knows what you need.
The Father knows what you need.
Oh, he knows. He knows. He knows. And if he knows what you need, he knows what he has to get out of you. He has to remove some things. You see that? He's going to work on you. Come on, let's lift up your hands and say, work on me, Jesus.
Work on me, Jesus.
Come on, say, work on me, Jesus.
Work on me, Jesus.
I know. Yeah. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I want to give it all up, but I'm not ready to let that relationship go. I've been planning on some stuff, and I've been working hard on this plan. Lord, I'm saying, work on me, Jesus, but just could you just wait until after? No. Look at your neighbor and say, I want him to work on me now. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you know exactly what we need. I pray right now for our hearts and our minds to get to a place where we're so satisfied in you that we will do whatever it takes to please you. Stop giving you part of ourselves and give you the whole of ourselves in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, Lord, that you would help us to walk this out and do what needs to be done so that we can have the fullness of the kingdom in our lives. Manifest in earth, in Jesus' name we pray. Lord, now, I pray for those who may not be saved, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray if they prayed that prayer that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, so that they may be matured and developed and go on to do what you called them to do in the name of Jesus. And I pray right now for your people. I pray for healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, deliverance to take place in their life. I pray for blessings. blessing, some prosperity to manifest in their lives in the name of Jesus. It is a joy to serve you, and we are honored and privileged to do so. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread this gospel around the world. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will and purpose for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, give God a praise all over. Hallelujah.